of the second book of Samuel. And I mentioned that chapters 21 through 24 in 2 Samuel form an epilogue to the life of David. And this epilogue is in the form of a chiasm. A chiasm is a particular structure in which the first section is parallel to the very last section. The next second section is parallel to the second last section, and so on. And there are six sections in these few chapters. Today we come to the third section in this epilogue. One commentator calls it the hope of David's kingdom. It covers all of chapter 22, and I'm calling it David's song of deliverance. It's a marvelous song in which David praises God for the many, many ways in which he delivered David. It's a long song, and we could profitably spend many weeks looking at each of the various portions that make up this long song. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to be looking at the first three verses of 2 Samuel chapter 22. The rest of the chapter just has lots and lots of sections, as I said, which outline and just go over the many ways in which God had delivered David. So I'm just going to read 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. I invite you, if you're able, to please stand as I read to you from the Word of God. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered David from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to examine this first portion of this wonderful song of deliverance, and help us to be edified, instructed for your glory and our eternal good. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan Dale Golding of La Mirada, California, said that when he and his family were missionaries in the Philippines, they once vacationed at Baguio City in the mountains of northern Luzon. And while they were there, they visited the St. Louis Silver School, where silversmiths are trained. They admired the exquisite workmanship in the workshop and gift shop. And they took home a souvenir, a pure money clip, a pure silver money clip that was embellished with a very distinctive design. Alan carried that clip for the next 24 years, but one day it broke as he slipped a few bills into the clip. And so he took the two pieces of the money clip back to the silver school in Bagui. One workman who was about Alan's age asked if he could help him. Alan explained to him that he had purchased this many years before and it was broken, and he put the two pieces in the outstretched hand of the workman. As the workman examined these two pieces for a minute or so, he looked up and he said to Alan, "I designed that clip. I was the only one to make this design. I made all of these that were ever made." So Alan asked him, "Can you fix it?" And the man said, "I designed it, I made it, of course I can fix it." Now I think that David, King David, had a wonderfully clear understanding that God was his designer, his creator, and his fixer. David had faced many, many troubles in his life, far more than most of us will ever face or know. And yet he knew the one to whom he could turn whenever he faced difficulty in his life. And so today, as we examine the first few verses of 2 Samuel chapter 21, we learn to praise God for his deliverance. And I want to look at two things today. First, I want to look at the context of praising God for his deliverance. And then second, to look at the content of praising God for his deliverance. So let's begin by looking at the context for praising God for his deliverance. The author of 2 Samuel writes in verse 1 of chapter 22, "And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Almost identical words to these are found as in the title of Psalm 18, which says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." The song here in Psalm 22 is almost identical to the song that is recorded for us in Psalm 18. Commentator Gordon Keddy observes, "It may be that the fuller version in the Psalter was David's final version for public use in the worship of God. The differences are fairly numerous, but the teaching is the same. Both are the inspired word of God." The song in 2 Samuel 22 is set in a historical context, and the other is in the manual of praise. Now, David wrote the song of deliverance in 2 Samuel 22, as he says, "After the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." David looked back over 40 years as king and many, many years prior to that when before he became king over all Israel. And he saw how the Lord had delivered him on numerous occasions from many enemies. He recalled how the Lord had delivered him. And from Saul's many attempts, I think I said one time 14 attempts where Saul tried to kill David. And so David wrote a song praising God for his deliverance. And that brings us then to looking at the content of praising God for his deliverance. There are 50 verses in which David praised God for his deliverance, but we're going to focus our attention on just the first two verses of David's song of deliverance. David's praise of God included several ascriptions, and I'm just going to put them into five ascriptions of how David saw God in his deliverance of him. The first thing is David saw that God is my strength. God is my strength. Look at verse 2. David saw God as a rock in verses 2 and 3. In verse 2 he said, "The Lord is my rock." And again in verse 3, "My God, my rock." In the Bible, a rock conveys the idea of strength. It's a foundation. It's something solid and stable. David said that the Lord was his strength and his foundation. God was able to deliver him from his many enemies, his many situations, because the Lord was his strength. God was his rock. Now, do you remember Jesus' most famous sermon? We call it the Sermon on the Mount, and it's given to us in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And Jesus was teaching his disciples how to live as citizens of God's kingdom in the midst of a very sinful world. And then Jesus concluded his sermon with an application to his hearers. And the application was to build their lives on the rock. Listen to how Jesus put it in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. David said that God was his rock, and he praised God for his deliverance because God was his strength. As you face trouble, as you face trial, as you face difficulties in your life, make sure that you build your life on Jesus, the rock. Second thing is, God is my shield. David said in verse 2, the Lord is my fortress. And in verse 3, he said, my shield. Now, the Hebrew word for fortress refers to a mountain stronghold. The word for stronghold in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is the same as the word for fortress. Sometimes it's translated fortress, sometimes it's translated as stronghold. And we remember back in the early days of David's life, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, it says, David and all the people who were gathering to him took shelter in a stronghold. Same word as fortress. The Hebrew word is masuda, and most likely it gets translated into English as masada. Many of you have heard of masada. It's a flat piece on top of a high mountain about 30 miles southeast of Jerusalem. In about 73 AD, the Jews who had rebelled against Rome were encamped on top of the mountain, and for months and months the Romans were at the bottom, but they couldn't get at them because of the fortress or the stronghold. And eventually the people on top, the Jews, ran out of food, and so they all committed suicide rather than give themselves up to the enemy. So a fortress protects oneself from the enemy. And a shield does the same thing. A fortress is a large place that protects a lot of people from the enemy. A shield is a shield that somebody holds and protects from individual arrows or darts or spears and so on. They do the same thing. They protect one from the enemy. When Ira Sankey was at the height of his ministry, he was traveling on a steamer on the Delaware River, and he was recognized by some passengers. They had seen his picture in the newspaper, and they knew that he was associated with the evangelist and pastor, Dwight Lyman Moody. When they asked him to sing one of his own songs, he demurred and said that he would prefer to sing a song by William Bradbury that was titled Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And he suggested that everyone join in and sing with him. You may remember one of the stanzas begins with these words, we are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. When he finished singing the song, a man standing in the shadow stepped forward and came up to him and said, Mr. Sankey, were you in the army? And Sankey said, yes, I joined the army in 1860. And the man said, did you ever do guard duty in Maryland in about 1862. Yes, I did, said Sankey. The man said, well, I was in the Confederate Army. I saw you one night at Sharpburg, and I took aim with my rifle because you were standing in the clear full moonlight, and I had a very clear sight of you. And just as I was about to pull the trigger, you began to sing that very same song that you just sang right now. And I couldn't pull the trigger. And just as he shielded the Sankey from the Confederate's bullet, so God was David's shield. And I think only glory will reveal to us how often God has shielded us. The third thing we learn is, God is my Savior. David said in verse 3 that the Lord is the horn of my salvation, my Savior. Now, the expression, the horn of my salvation, occurs only here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and in one other place, Psalm 18, the parallel psalm. The idea is that a horn is a symbol of power or strength for an animal. The theological word book of the Old Testament explains the reference to God as the horn of salvation by saying that God is the source of all true salvation. And that is why he is termed the horn of salvation. And David also called him a savior. Now, as David contemplated the many ways in which God had delivered him from so many situations, he praised God for being a savior. God saved David not only from the conflicts in his life, but from the condemnation of his sin. And David's savior was, of course, his greatest son, Jesus. You may remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, a marvelous sermon, 3,000 people converted on that day. And at one point, Peter quoted David from Psalm 16, not this psalm, but a different psalm. And Peter used that to show how, although David was quoting it in reference to himself, it was pointing forward to Jesus. And listen to what David said as quoted by Peter. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and I'm not shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And David praised God for his deliverance because God was his Savior. Well, let me ask you, as you hear these words, is God your Savior? Fourth, God is my security. Verse 3, David said that the Lord is my stronghold. Now, the Hebrew word for stronghold refers to a high point where a person is secure against hostile attacks. And using the same word for stronghold as here, David wrote in Psalm 9, verse 9, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Early in David's life, particularly before he became king, Saul was constantly hunting him down and trying to kill him. David spent years running and hiding from Saul. He spent many a night and many a day in various strongholds, a place from which he could look down and see the approaching enemy and take the appropriate action in order to get away. In this stronghold, he had a strong sense of God's presence delivering him from attacks. Joan Marie Arbogast tells a story of the time when she was flying with her young daughter. It was the daughter's first flight, and this little girl was very apprehensive and anxious when she saw the plane. And as she got into the plane and boarded it, she said, what if the plane falls down? And then when they started revving up the engines, what was that noise? And the little girl was so anxious. And when they took off, she held Joan's hand, and the knuckles on her hand turned absolutely white with fear as this plane took off up into the clouds, into the sky. And once they broke through the clouds, she let go and breathed a sigh of relief, and she said, it's okay now, I'm not afraid, we're above the clouds, next to heaven. Her perspective had changed, and she felt secure. When you encounter scary situations, difficult situations in your life, are you able to say that God is my security? And then finally, God is my safety. David said in verse 3 that the Lord is my refuge. Now, the Hebrew word for refuge refers to a shelter from danger or hardship. As I mentioned, David was constantly on the run from Saul. And when he was on the run, it seems that David knew every hill, every valley, every cave, every hideout, every refuge. Saul could never find him. And David was always a step ahead of him because David knew where to find refuge. And it was in these places of refuge that God provided safety for David. Many of you may know the name Gordon MacDonald. He tells the following story. He says, in the fall of 1956, I began my final year at the Stony Brook School, then a boys' preparatory school in New York. And among the required courses that last year was Senior Bible, taught by the school's headmaster, Dr. Frank E. Gabeline, a man who required us to memorize over 300 verses of Scripture over the course of a year. That's a lot of verses. And if Dr. Gabeline met a student walking, say, from the dormitory to the dining hall, he might say, Gordon, could you give me John 13:34, please? And he expected us to recite the verse from memory without faltering. And one of the passages he tasked us to memorize was Psalm 46. For days we memorized, recited, until Psalm 46 was part of us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the sea. In the spring of 1957, Senior Bible ended. We put our index cards away, graduated from Stony Brook, and went off to college. Occasionally, I returned to Psalm 46. I even preached on it a couple of times. He was a pastor. Now, 56 years have passed. A few days ago, my doctor called me. Gordon, he said, I have some difficult news for you. There's a tumor in the back of your head, in the lining of your brain. It's not malignant, but it will have to come out. Gordon MacDonald says this. He said, I spent my whole life helping other people face doctor call moments like these. Now it was my turn. And the very first thing that began to surge through my mind was, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. No matter what David encountered, he praised God for his deliverance because God was his safety. And are you able to say with Gordon MacDonald and with David, God is my refuge? So we've looked at just the first few verses. Let us praise God for our deliverance. You know, David's song of deliverance is a marvelous song. As I mentioned earlier, we could take weeks to go through this and profit greatly from it. David praised God for being his strength, shield, Savior, security, and safety. But I want to read verses 2 and 3 for you again. And as I read these verses for you again, I want you to pay attention to the personal pronouns, my and I. Listen to what David says. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior who saves me from violence. Friends, in this passage or these two verses, David uses the personal pronoun my 10 times and two other personal pronouns as well. Christianity is a religion where we get to have a personal relationship with God. A religious person may say that God is a strength, a shield, a savior, a security, a safety. But it is only the child of God who can sing the song of deliverance and say, my strength, my shield, my savior, my security, and my safety. I hope you can sing the song of deliverance. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to read your word, to study your word, to examine this marvelous introduction to the song of deliverance. And I pray that if there is anyone here today who is not able to personalize it, that you would grant that person faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of sin, so that person can say with David that God is my strength, my shield, my savior, my security, and my safety. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.